WBZH 910 AM, W245CT Hayward. Always streaming on the Civic
ABC
Media
News.
App.
I'm M. Nguyen. The July jobs report shows slowing growth with a gain of 187,000 jobs, but that's lower than expectations. The government also reporting the unemployment rate fell a tenth of a point to 3.5%, the number signaling a durable labor market despite the Fed's interest rate hikes. Former President Donald Trump pleaded not guilty to 4 criminal charges related to his alleged efforts to overturn the 2020 election. A new poll finds 65% of people think these charges are serious. ABC political director Rick Klein says,
Americans are dialed into this. I think it's different than the hush money payments case. It's different than classified documents. This was there for the whole world and the whole country to see. And a lot of Americans are saying, whatever else you may think about the justice system, whatever else you think about Joe Biden, this is serious stuff.
Prosecutors in New York are asking a judge to order suspected serial killer Rex Heureman to submit a DNA sample to try and determine if he's connected to other killings. This is ABC News. Federal investigators are charging 2 U.S. Navy sailors with stealing defense secrets and selling them to China. They say the 2 were allegedly approached by Chinese spies who offered them thousands of dollars in exchange for delivering classified details about naval operations. The 2 sailors were both based in California, but authorities say it's unclear if their cases are connected. A potential fire risk leading to a recall of tens of thousands of vehicles by Hyundai and Kia.
Over 91,000 Hyundai and Kia vehicles are being recalled because damaged electrical components can cause the electric oil pump to overheat, leading to a fire. The Kia recall impacts certain 2023 to 2024 Kia Seltos, Soul, and Sportages. The Hyundai recall involves certain newer model Palisades, Tucsons, Sonatas, Elantras, and Konas. Owners are being told to park their vehicles outside, away from any structures, until repairs are completed. Alex Stone, ABC News.
M. Nguyen, ABC News.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
For Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, I'm Jimmy Kuska. Here's what you need to know in Amory. There's very little change from last week to this week in the National Drought Monitor released on Thursday. The lower Wisconsin River Valley and parts of far northwestern Wisconsin are still in extreme drought, with precipitation up to 10 inches below normal over the last 3 months in some places. About 82% of the state is in some stage of drought. About 1/8 of the state is in extreme drought. That's slightly higher than last week. If you're heading to Wisconsin Badgers basketball and hockey games, you'll now be able to drink alcohol. The UW Athletic Department announced that it would be adding beer, wine, and prepackaged alcoholic drinks to its offerings at the Kohl Center and LeBron Arena beginning this fall. The decision also covers other events held at the venues, such as concerts. After a hot and humid week, this weekend should bring relief as rain showers pass through northwestern Wisconsin. Temperatures will be in the 80s to start next week. From the Civic Media News Desk in Western Wisconsin, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
She's the newest of 7 elected Wisconsin Supreme Court justices. Janet Protasiewicz begins her 10-year term in August when she is sworn in. It's a long-time tradition which includes use of the court's seal created in 1848. But did you know it features the scales of justice, but not carried by a blindfolded Greek goddess? Instead, a hand holds the scales, representing justice is in human hands. It also means everything is official once the seal is stamped on any court documents. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr. Flowers, vegetables, and crab apples, some of the first Marathon County Fair attractions, and showed us proof those crops could grow there. Started in 1868 by the Agricultural Society, the Wisconsin Valley Fair in Wausau began as a place to buy and sell those types of goods. Today, it's considered one of the best in the state, featuring displays, demos, and big-name entertainment included with the price of your ticket. The Wisconsin Valley Fair runs August 1st to the 6th in Wausau. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Baugh.
All right, folks, let's get started. Parents, thanks for coming. As many of you know, I'm Coach Mather. Tonight I want to talk about the season, of which I only have one expectation. that everybody gets stronger. When I say get stronger, I'm not referring solely to physical strength. Sure, we'll be in the weight room, we'll be running stairs, but we're also going to focus on developing mental toughness and grit, because those are the characteristics that allow us to achieve greatness both on and off the court. So, how do we develop those things? By getting comfortable with a challenge, by cultivating the confidence necessary to overcome adversity in all forms. That's why I coach. That's my purpose. Every member of this team can lean on me, and I'll teach them how they can lean on themselves and each other.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Albaugh Show, weekday afternoons from 1 till 3. Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Albaugh Show on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Minutes after 9 o'clock now. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. From Bob Dylan on a Friday morning. Hope you're having a good day so far. 71 degrees in Eau Claire right now. Also 71 in Amory. And if you would like to join us on the phone, if you have an opinion about anything we are discussing today, feel free. The phone number is 715-388-7155. Be interested to hear what you have to say. By the way, if you want to send me an email message, you can do that as well. My email address is stumanradio@gmail.com. Stuman is spelled with a U, S-T. Well, of course, the big thing that we've been discussing this morning is the fact that Trump was in a courtroom yesterday in Washington, D.C., arraigned once again after being indicted on Tuesday. And, you know, criminals don't always surround themselves with the best people. After all, if you're not a criminal, why would you want to hang out with one and work for one? So as we've seen, not just recently, but over the years, sometimes Trump has some strange people defending him on the cable news shows and elsewhere. And we're seeing a great example of that this week. This guy named Lauro, his last name is Lauro, John Lauro, one of Trump's lawyers, all over TV this week, trying to defend his client, but kind of digging a bigger hole is one way to put it. An article in Rolling Stone says, and it has this little caption at the beginning, it says, "Well then," and the headline says, "Trump's own lawyer admits he directed an illegal scheme to stop the electoral count." So Trump's own lawyer is admitting that Trump directed the illegal scheme to stop the electoral count. The subheadline says, "Repeatedly explaining on national TV that your client orchestrated a criminal plot might not be the best legal strategy. This piece was just posted today by Ryan Bort at RollingStone.com, and it says Donald Trump has been charged criminally for conspiring to overturn the results of the 2020 presidential election. The indictment, along with the other two that have been leveled against the former president this year, is different from most of his other scandals in that it will ultimately be litigated in a court of law. Trump can't just dispatch his minions to spew nonsense on cable news and hope the problem goes away. He is definitely still doing that, though. John Lauro, one of the lawyers by Trump's side as he pleaded not guilty yesterday, has been particularly active in front of the camera. He tried to claim on Tuesday on CNN that the case was merely a First Amendment issue before arguing there's nothing wrong with submitting an alternate slate of electors. He then went on Fox News after the arraignment, where he went ahead and admitted Trump directed the scheme to hold up the Electoral College certification. Quote, ultimately, what President Trump said is, let's go with option D. Let's just pause the voting and allow the state legislature to take one last look and to make a determination as to whether the elections were handled fairly. That's just constitutional law. That's not an issue of criminal activity, end quote from John Lauro. John Lauro said the same thing on Newsmax later yesterday, quote, he asked Mr. Pence to pause the voting for 10 days, allow the state legislatures to weigh in, and then they could make a determination to audit or re-audit or re-certify, he said. Lauro defended Trump by arguing that he didn't call to send in the tanks. Well, that's a good thing, right? Unfortunately for Trump, what Lauro is describing here is in fact illegal. John Eastman, who masterminded the plan for Mike Pence to halt the counting of the Electoral College, even admitted it, quote, at 11:44 p.m., co-conspirator number two emailed the vice president's counsel advocating that the vice president violate the law and seek further delay of the certification. The indictment reads, with co-conspirator number two referring to Eastman. Co-conspirator number two wrote, I implore you to consider one more relatively minor violation of the Electoral Count Act and adjourn for 10 days to allow the legislatures to finish their investigations, as well as to allow a full forensic audit of the massive amount of illegal activity that has occurred here, end quote. Trump's team is also sure to argue that the former president truly believed he won the election, despite the indictment laying out how several people around him, people who wanted him to win the election, explained to him that he lost. Alina Haba, another Trump lawyer, went ahead and confirmed to the press on Thursday that, quote, everybody was made aware that he lost the election, end quote. Trump's lawyers may be giving Fox News viewers a way to justify their belief that Trump did nothing wrong, but special counsel Jack Smith isn't just going to throw his hands up and drop the case. Regardless of what his supporters think, Trump will face accountability for working to overturn the election. That is, unless he wins in 2024 and installs a more sympathetic Justice Department. Story in Rolling Stone. Wow. What would happen if Trump is reelected? Is that even a possibility at this point? 14 minutes after 9 o'clock right now. And what about the co-conspirators? What about the other six people that are listed in the indictment? Could they help Trump or could they hurt him? USA Today has the story with a headline that says, will they flip? Why the six people cited in Trump's indictment pose a threat to him? This was updated just 9 minutes ago. Dateline Washington says the federal government's criminal indictment of Donald Trump lists six people who allegedly conspired with him to try to steal the 2020 election, including his personal lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, a former Justice Department official, and a political consultant. Any of the six could deepen Trump's already dire legal jeopardy should they decide to cooperate with Special Counsel Jack Smith to avoid facing criminal charges of their own. Former prosecutors and other legal analysts told USA Today they were struck by the fact that Smith did not announce charges against any of the six, even though the indictment describes them as crucial cogs in a broad Trump-led conspiracy to try to overturn Joe Biden's victory. In a process known as flipping, prosecutors often use the implied threat of potential criminal charges to pressure suspected co-conspirators into cooperating against their main target, in this case, Trump. And if Smith can get even a few to flip, it would help his case tremendously. None of the six were cited by name in the indictment, but USA Today has determined the identities of four: Giuliani, former Justice Department lawyer Jeffrey Clark, and attorneys John Eastman and Sidney Powell. A fifth appears to be attorney Kenneth Cheesebro from Wisconsin. A sixth was identified only as, quote, a political consultant who helped implement a plan to submit fraudulent slates of presidential electors, end quote, to block Congress from officially certifying Biden's win and paving the way for the orderly transfer of power from one administration to the next. Former Trump White House special counsel Ty Cobb was one of several legal analysts who said one of the most likely reasons Smith didn't seek indictment of the six is because he's trying to pressure them into providing incriminating evidence against Trump and to possibly testify against him at trial. Cobb said the indictment, from what it says and doesn't say, makes clear that the grand jury hearing evidence in the case is still working and looking at additional charges. And the fact that the six are listed as conspirators and not unindicted co-conspirators, he said, suggests Jack Smith intends to seek grand jury indictments of them unless they work out some arrangement with the government. So, will they help Trump or will they turn against him? Will they flip and spill the beans, work with the prosecutor, work with Jack Smith? It will be interesting to see what happens. By the way, if you have an opinion on anything we're discussing today, feel free to call in 715-388-7155. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
The sun is filled with ice and gives no warmth at all. And the sky was never blue. The stars are raindrops searching for a place to fall. And I never cared for you. I know you won't believe these things I tell you. No, you won't believe. Your heart has been forewarned, all men will lie to you. And your mind cannot conceive. Now all depends on what I say to you.
Hi, I'm Joey Erickson from Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, and here are some events that are coming up in our community.
On August 3rd, the Amory Lakes Protection and Rehabilitation District meeting is held at City Hall. That takes place 6:30 till 7 p.m. On August 7th, the Indian Head Barbershop Course meets at 7 p.m. at the Government Center on the northeast side of Highway I and Highway 46 in Balsam Lake. All men who love to sing are welcome. August 9th, stop by Michael Park, enjoy a free concert. Listen to Samantha Grimes Band. That's at 6 o'clock. And on August 12th, the Amory Price Is Right will be starting at 10 a.m. Make sure to shop locally and learn how to win amazing prizes throughout the entire day.
If you have an event you like us to tell others about, let me know. Email me at joey.erickson@civicmedia.us and we'll tell the community all about it. Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
She's the newest of seven elected Wisconsin Supreme Court justices. Janet Protasiewicz begins her 10-year term in August when she is sworn in. It's a longtime tradition which includes use of the court's seal created in 1848. But did you know it features the scales of justice, but not carried by a blindfolded Greek goddess? Instead, a hand holds the scales, representing justice is in human hands. It also means everything is official once the seal is stamped on any court documents. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
Here's your updated forecast. Partly cloudy skies this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 85. Winds out of the east, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Cloudy tonight, 64. Mainly cloudy skies tomorrow. Slight chance for scattered thunderstorms. Highs level off around 82. Highs level off around 75 Sunday with a chance for scattered storms. 78, partly cloudy skies Monday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 73.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. Beginning at 6, Up North News. Then at 8, Stu Daniels on Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Show on this Friday morning, and we are discussing several different topics today, and I am inviting you to join us on the phone line. If you have an opinion on anything we're discussing, feel free to call in 715-388-7155. Got 69 degrees up in Hayward right now. In Richland Center, it's 76 degrees already at 23 minutes after 9 o'clock. And just before the break, we were discussing these co-defendants, or co-conspirators, I should say, co-conspirators in the Donald Trump effort to overturn the 2020 election, and the fact that they were not named in this indictment that was handed down on Tuesday. So what's the deal? Is it possible that Jack Smith will try to get these six to cooperate with the prosecution against Donald Trump? Well, one of them, John Eastman, a lawyer for John Eastman, Harvey Silverglate, said in a statement, and by the way, this is from the USA Today story that I was going over just before the break. The lawyer for Eastman, Harvey Silverglate, said in a statement that his client has not and will not be engaged in plea bargaining in the case with state or federal prosecutors. In other words, he's saying that Eastman is not going to cooperate for what could be a lighter sentence. USA Today reached out to representatives of others believed to be named in the indictment, but got no response. Timothy Heffey, who was lead investigator on the House Select Committee that investigated the January 6th Capitol insurrection, said the potential cooperation of the six people listed as co-conspirators would be crucial to the special counsel's prosecution of Donald Trump. Quote, every single brick that is placed on the wall and a co-conspirator's testimony would be a pretty heavy brick, makes the wall harder to penetrate for Trump's defense team, Heffey said. Heffey is a former federal prosecutor, and he said the playbook in any conspiracy case, from a drug distribution enterprise to Trump's efforts to overturn an election, is to use the leverage of a potential criminal charge to bargain with co-conspirators for more information and possible cooperation. The cooperation of Rudy Giuliani, if he were to flip, would undoubtedly be the most significant of the six, Heffey said. Let me just stop right here and ask you, the listener, do you think that Rudy Giuliani would flip and cooperate with the prosecutors against his old buddy Donald Trump? I would guess yes. I would guess that Giuliani wouldn't have a problem with that at all if it were going to save him from going to jail. Giuliani, who was Trump's attorney and top strategist leading up to January 6th, helped promote many of the falsehoods about election fraud in the 2020 election, cited in the indictment, quote, Rudy Giuliani is not quite the architect, but at least one of the leaders in implementing the multi-part plan to overturn the election, Heffey said. Heffey and the House Special Committee interviewed Giuliani, who cited attorney-client privileges repeatedly, as well as Clark and Eastman, both of whom cited their Fifth Amendment rights on all questions. Sidney Powell, provided some information in response to questions, Heffey said. The panel did not interview Cheesebro, the guy from Wisconsin. Trump also did not speak to the January 6th committee, despite being subpoenaed. So who do you think might flip, and what would their value be? Former federal prosecutor Barbara McQuaid cautioned that at least some of the six alleged co-conspirators, if not all of them, might decide to stay loyal to Trump and not cooperate with the ongoing investigation. Trump and some of his Republican supporters in Congress have given them that incentive by hinting that Trump should and would pardon such people if reelected president. Quote, it's always difficult to predict whether a co-conspirator will flip. A defendant and his lawyer must assess his own likelihood of conviction at trial versus the benefit of pleading guilty and cooperating. Sometimes people remain loyal to their criminal associations. A prosecutor does not file charges unless he already has evidence sufficient to obtain and sustain a conviction. So Jack Smith is not likely counting on any of them to flip. It'll be interesting to see what happens. 28 minutes after 9 o'clock, going to take a break. Stay tuned. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. At 10, As Goes Wisconsin. Then at noon, Civic Media Network News. On Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Em Nguyen. The July jobs report shows slowing growth with a gain of 187,000 jobs, but that's lower than expectations. The government also reporting the unemployment rate fell a tenth of a point to 3.5%, the numbers signaling a durable labor market despite the Fed's interest rate hikes. Former President Donald Trump pleaded not guilty to four criminal charges related to his alleged efforts to overturn the 2020 election. A new poll finds 65% of people think these charges are serious. ABC political director Rick Klein says,
Americans are dialed into this. I think it's different than the hush money payments case. It's different than classified documents. this was there for the whole world and the whole country to see. And a lot of Americans are saying, whatever else you may think about the justice system, this is serious stuff.
Prosecutors in New York are asking a judge to order suspected serial killer Rex Heuermann to submit a DNA sample to try and determine if he's connected to other killings. This is ABC News.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
For Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, I'm Jimmy Kuska. Here's what you need to know in Amory. There's very little change from last week to this week in the National Drought Monitor released on Thursday. The lower Wisconsin River Valley and parts of far northwestern Wisconsin are still in extreme drought, with precipitation up to 10 inches below normal over the last 3 months in some places. About 82% of the state is in some stage of drought. About 1/8 of the state is in extreme drought. That's slightly higher than last week. If you're heading to Wisconsin Badgers basketball and hockey games, you'll now be able to drink alcohol. The UW Athletic Department announced that it would be adding beer, wine, and prepackaged alcoholic drinks to its offerings at the Kohl Center and LeBron Arena beginning this fall. The decision also covers other events held at the venues, such as concerts. After a hot and humid week, this weekend should bring relief as rain showers pass through northwestern Wisconsin. Temperatures will be in the 80s to start next week. From the Civic Media News Desk in Western Wisconsin, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
One call can do it all. Your business's message can be broadcast across the entire state of Wisconsin through the Civic Media Network of stations, or we can focus the campaign in your hometown. We have the flexibility. You have the control. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
It's so hot. Wait. Now it's going to rain? It is summer in Wisconsin.
As much as we love it, we love to hate it too. Find a forecast you can count on along with the in-depth details you need, only from the Civic Media Weather Team.
These extended conditions have led us into a flash drought. Sitting in these above average temperatures with minimal rain has swiftly altered the local climate.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app. Flowers, vegetables, and crab apples. Some of the first Marathon County Fair attractions and showed us proof those crops could grow there. Started in 1868 by the Agricultural Society, the Wisconsin Valley Fair in Wausau began as a place to buy and sell those types of goods. Today, it's considered one of the best in the state, featuring displays, demos, and big name entertainment included with the price of your ticket. The Wisconsin Valley Fair runs August 1st to the 6th in Wausau. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr. She's the newest of seven elected Wisconsin Supreme Court justices. Janet Protasiewicz begins her 10-year term in August when she is sworn in. It's a longtime tradition which includes use of the court's seal created in 1848. But did you know it features the scales of justice, but not carried by a blindfolded Greek goddess? Instead, a hand holds the scales, representing justice is in human hands. It also means everything is official once the seal is stamped on any court documents. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
For a show in some direction.
can see that it's true. 9:35, welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. Jerry Garcia, going back to his solo album, Reflections. I think that came out almost 50 years ago, 1973. So that would be 50 years ago, right? Hey, welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. We've got 80 degrees already in La Crosse, 74 degrees in Amory. And just before the break, we were discussing this the possibility of these co-conspirators flipping and testifying against their boss, Donald Trump. And is that a possibility? I guess it is a possibility. We were going over this story from USA Today, and one of the people in the story is former federal prosecutor Barbara McQuaid, who you may have seen on some of the cable news channels. I often see her on MSNBC. And in this story, she says the value of these co-conspirators is mixed. On the one hand, their proximity to Trump means they probably have information that could be valuable to prosecutors, she said. But on the other hand, quote, they likely all have credibility problems in light of their alleged lies about the election, end quote. Jack Smith has several potent weapons, though, that he can use to pressure co-conspirators into cooperating, including some that the January 6th committee did not, according to Heffey, Cobb, and others. One is the ability to obtain information via subpoena or the threat of a subpoena. Using that, the special counsel already has obtained a potential goldmine of information from other key players in Trump's alleged schemes to overturn the election results. At the center of that effort, according to Cobb and others, is Mark Meadows, Trump's chief of staff before, during, and after January 6th. Quote, I have been saying for more than a year that he is cooperating, Cobb said of the former congressman who was at Trump's side during the weeks and months after he lost the election in November of 2020. And Meadows has refused to comment on whether he is cooperating with the Justice Department investigation being led by the special counsel's office, but he already has publicly acknowledged handing over 2,319 text messages to the January 6th committee. Quote, Meadows is probably almost as much an architect of this indictment as Jack Smith is, because he is a witness to 80% of what's been alleged, Cobb said. They'll build the narrative around Meadows, and they will have him on the stand forever, I'm sure, detailing everything that happened, end quote. Denver Riggleman, another January 6th committee investigator, said the committee tried to get Meadows' call detail records, which show to whom he talked, when he talked to them, and possibly also where he was when he talked to them. He has said publicly that he's certain that with its subpoena power, Smith and the Justice Department have gotten those and used them, and Meadows himself as a foundation for the whole indictment. Because Meadows has some association with many of the alleged co-conspirators in the indictment, his cooperation could encourage others to seek a deal as well that could lower their chances of being prosecuted, and if so, serving a lengthy prison sentence. Another wild card, they say, is what former Vice President Mike Pence knows about the various and allegedly illegal schemes laid out in the indictment and what level of cooperation he might provide. Pence is mentioned in the indictment as having taken contemporaneous notes of key meetings and phone calls in which Trump pressured him to go along with the scheme. And then there are all of the other potential eyewitnesses, including more than a dozen White House staffers at the time who already have cooperated with the January 6th committee and provided testimony to the grand juries Smith is using to bring the election fraud case against Trump. Cobb and other legal analysts said that even if it's only informed speculation that key players like Meadows are cooperating, that puts considerable added stress on alleged co-conspirators to come clean because of what they know about what those already cooperating might be telling the special counsel's office and its prosecutors and investigators. So who are these six co-conspirators and what did they allegedly do? Well, the first is Rudy Giuliani. As we know, the former mayor of New York City, a key legal and at times operational architect of Trump's efforts to overturn the election results in various states. He was also central to the Trump-led effort to falsely claim that the election had been stolen, including making now debunked comments about two Georgia election workers whom he accused of pulling out suitcases of illegal ballots. Giuliani worked with a group of outside attorneys feeding Trump rumors and unfounded allegations of voter fraud long after White House insiders told the president that he had lost the election and needed to concede. The indictment also referred to discussions between the former New York City mayor and prosecutor and former Arizona House Speaker Rusty Bowers, in which Bowers asked for evidence of election irregularities, and Giuliani promised to deliver them, but never did. The second co-conspirator is John Eastman, a Trump attorney and former Texas law professor who has stated he was dealing directly with Trump at times in the weeks after the election. The indictment says he circulated a two-page memorandum outlining the plan to try to persuade Pence to subvert the Constitution and throw out the 2020 election results on January 6th. According to Bob Woodward and Robert Costa in their book, Peril, that memo was written by John Eastman. CNN later reported on the memo as well. The January 6th committee also found that John Eastman and others devised the plan for Vice President Pence to declare the electoral votes from certain states could not be counted on January 6th, a measure he had previously said was not legal. Eastman pleaded the Fifth Amendment 100 times before a deposition for the January 6th committee. A third co-conspirator is attorney Sidney Powell, an inside member of the legal team working with Giuliani and others to overturn the election results. Powell filed or helped file lawsuits in several states over alleged but now debunked election fraud and made numerous public claims of outside influence in the election, including from Venezuela and even from satellites. Former Trump White House staffer Hope Hicks told January 6th investigators that the president had privately acknowledged that Powell's ideas for overturning the election results, quote, sounded crazy, end quote. Sidney Powell showed up unannounced at the White House on December 18th of 2020 with a team of outside attorneys to discuss election theories. The January 6th committee found triggering a contentious, unplanned six-hour meeting with the president and his White House staff advisors. Fourth on this list of co-conspirators is Jeffrey Clark, who the indictment says, quote, attempted to use the Justice Department to open sham election crime investigations and influence state legislatures with knowingly false claims of election fraud. Clark, Jeffrey Clark, who had been nominated by Trump to be an assistant attorney general at the Department of Justice, allegedly also sent letters to Georgia officials about overturning the election. Clark invoked his Fifth Amendment right 125 times during a deposition for the January 6th committee. And the fifth person isn't as crystal clear as some of the others, but the evidence points to it being Kenneth Cheesebro, an attorney credited with writing strategic emails and memos about the efforts to overturn the vote in key states. The January 6th internal report said Cheesebro drafted and distributed documents intended for use in, quote, the Trump team's fake elector ceremonies, end quote, that were distributed to several states. The indictment refers to those memos, saying they were sent with fraudulent elector instructions along with fraudulent elector certificates that he had drafted. And the sixth member is unclear, the sixth co-conspirator. It could be one of the, it could be one of a few people involved in constructing the fraudulent slates of presidential electors in a flurry of emails and conference calls during the first 2 weeks of December 2020. The indictment describes the person as a political consultant who spoke with alleged co-conspirators one and five in conference calls organized by the Trump campaign on December 7th and December 12th and circulated conditional language in the fraudulent elector certificates. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. Will those co-conspirators flip and start working with the prosecutors, give them the information that they need in order for them to stay out of jail? What do you think is going to happen? Yeah, if you have an opinion, feel free to call in. I'd like to hear what you have to say. The phone number is 715-388-7155. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
It doesn't hurt, feels good to help. And when you give blood, you provide a life-saving difference for others. The need doesn't take a summer break. So we have a challenge for you, started by Civic Media's Earl Ingram.
Congratulations to all those people and all of you who donate blood.
Take a selfie while giving blood, then post it along with hashtag CivicPints. Give blood and you could get a prize too. Find challenge details and a donation center near you at civicmedia.us/giveblood. civicmedia.us/giveblood.
All right, folks, let's get started. Parents, thanks for coming. As many of you know, I'm Coach Mather. Tonight I want to talk about the season, of which I only have one expectation, that everybody gets stronger. When I say get stronger, I'm not referring solely to physical strength. Sure, we'll be in the weight room, we'll be running stairs, but we're also going to focus on developing mental toughness and grit, because those are the characteristics that allow us to achieve greatness both on and off the court. So, how do we develop those things? By getting comfortable with a challenge, by cultivating the confidence necessary to overcome adversity in all forms. That's why I coach. That's my purpose. Every member of this team can lean on me, and I'll teach them how they can lean on themselves and each other.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Here's your updated forecast. Partly cloudy this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 85. Winds out of the east, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Cloudy skies tonight, lows around 64. Slight chance for scattered thunderstorms tomorrow. High of 82, mainly cloudy. Highs level off around 75 Sunday with a chance for scattered thunderstorms. 78, sunshine mixed with clouds at times Monday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK 1260 AM. Right now, 75.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Tom and Crude. Then at 6, The Maggie Dawn Show. WLAK.
Daniel's show on this Friday morning, 9:51 right now. It's our final segment, and I think I've had enough of politics for this show. Eventually, it just catches up with you, right? So let's devote this last segment to something that will benefit all of us. How about nutrition? Something to send you off on the weekend with. Information about nutrition. This is from the Los Angeles Daily News. 6 key foods to incorporate into a healthy diet. And this is posted by Leanne Weintraub at Los Angeles Daily News. And it says there's no doubt that eating fewer ultra-processed foods is beneficial for cardiovascular health. However, eating a healthful diet is not just about eating fewer processed foods, but consuming adequate amounts of certain nutrient-dense foods. In fact, researchers have determined that not eating enough of 6 key foods is associated with a higher risk of cardiovascular disease, including heart attacks and stroke in adults. The World Health Organization estimates that cardiovascular disease accounts for nearly 1/3 of all deaths worldwide. The results of a study spanning 80 countries and 245,000 subjects published this month in the European Heart Journal, found that the top foods to lower cardiovascular disease risk are fruit, vegetables, legumes, nuts, fish, and whole milk dairy products. They also found that whole grains and unprocessed meats can be included in a healthful dietary pattern in moderation. Based on the research findings, a dietary pattern beneficial for cardiovascular health should include an average daily intake of 2 to 3 servings of fruit, 2 to 3 servings of vegetables, 1 serving of nuts, and 2 servings of dairy. Legumes such as lentils and chickpeas should be consumed 3 to 4 times weekly, and fish should be consumed 2 to 3 times weekly. One daily serving of unprocessed meat or poultry and whole grains, respectively, can be included as part of this heart-healthy dietary pattern, according to the findings. Popular fad diets often used for weight loss, such as the ketogenic diet and the paleo diet, restrict one or more of these key food groups. It's possible that weight loss diets that restrict major nutrient-dense food groups like legumes or fruit may be a disadvantage or even harmful for cardiovascular health. When looking at studies providing evidence for dietary guidelines, it's necessary to determine if there is any potential bias. It's important to note that there was no specific funding for this data analysis, and the studies that contributed to these findings were funded separately and conducted over a 25-year period. While the journal article lists numerous funding sources for the overall body of research, the studies do not appear to be funded by the food industry. in efforts to decrease the risk of developing cardiovascular disease, here are 8 ways to easily incorporate the 6 key food groups into your eating plan. Include plant-based meals that highlight beans and legumes, such as minestrone soup, lentil soup, bean chili, black bean tacos, and bean salads. Also enjoy fish 2 to 3 times per week as a nutrient-dense protein source. Add a serving of fruit and vegetables to each meal and include them as snacks in between meals. And stock a bowl with pieces of fresh fruit easily accessible on the counter. Use frozen fruit and berries in smoothies. Enjoy a serving of nuts, about a handful of nuts like almonds, cashews, or pistachios, for example, every day. Add nuts to oatmeal or yogurt, or enjoy them plain as a snack. Incorporate dairy foods like whole milk yogurt and cottage cheese with breakfast, or as a satisfying snack a couple of times a day. Choose fresh meat or poultry instead of processed meats, such as deli meat, hot dogs, and sausage. Consume whole grains in moderation and limit consumption of ultra-processed grain products like Wonder Bread. That's my injection there at the end of that story by Leanne Weintraub. Something to send you off to the weekend with, some ideas about healthy eating. I know that personally, when I eat unhealthy food, it's usually on the weekend, usually when I'm hanging out with friends and having a beer. It's like, what the heck, a little bit of deep fried this or that isn't going to kill me, at least not today. But it's something to consider. I think better nutrition is something that we can all benefit from. So there's your good advice for today. Well, we've just about run out of time. I want to thank you for tuning in today and all week long. Hope you enjoy your Friday, and I hope you enjoy your weekend. Thanks for tuning in. I'll be back Monday morning, 8 o'clock.
Civic Media isn't just another broadcast company.
We're your neighbors. We bleed green and gold.
And we love nothing more than to help fellow Wisconsinites succeed.
Whether your business wants to advertise to your local community or the entire state, Civic Media can help. Find out more at civicmedia.us.
Flowers, vegetables, and crab apples, some of the first Marathon County Fair attractions, and showed us proof those crops could grow there. Started in 1868 by the Agricultural Society, the Wisconsin Valley Fair in Wausau began as a place to buy and sell those types of goods. Today, it's considered one of the best in the state, featuring displays, demos, and big-name entertainment included with the price of your ticket. The Wisconsin Valley Fair runs August 1st to the 6th in Wausau. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to WLAK 1260 AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward.
Always streaming on the Civic Media app. News.